Namanda,
Such is the benevolence of Amida's great compassion that we must strive to return it, even to the breaking of our bodies. Such is the benevolence of the masters and true teachers that we must endeavor to repay it, even to our bones becoming dust. Nyōrai daihi no ondoku wa mio konishitemo hōzu beshi. Shishu chishiki no ondoku mo hone o kudakitemo shasu beshi to. Good morning. Minasan, ohayou gozaimasu. We're already at the end of another year of Dharma school. It's just flown by, hasn't it? Yeah, it's been a fast year. It's been a fast year for me. It's great to have you all here with us this morning as we bring to a close the Dharma school year. Did anybody recognize that poem that I read at the start of my talk that I just read? Yeah, did you recognize that, Nyoma? It was Ondoku-san 2. Actually, there are two melodies, 1 and 2. The words are exactly the same for Ondoku-san, right? So this is Ondoku-san, and this gatha we sing a lot. We sing so often that many of us kind of know it by heart, but it expresses really the heart and the spirit of our Jodo Shinshu Buddhist teaching, our deep feeling of gratitude for the Buddha's benevolence. Benevolence is kindness, someone doing something kind for us, right? We also, sometimes we read things like the golden chain, the promise, our wish to be kind and gentle to every living thing. Is everybody here, are you kind and gentle to other living things all the time? Yeah, how about insects? Are you kind, yeah? Does anybody have some insects coming out now? Bugs and mosquitoes and things? Yesterday, Dioma. You saw a wasp in our yard, right? Wasps are scary, right? Other bugs are scary. Yeah, Shoma?
I saw a poisonous spider in our yard.
A poisonous spider, right? A poisonous spider. Yeah, how about you, Cole?
My dad killed a fly.
Your dad killed a fly? Yeah. Yeah, how about you, Cameron?
A spider
in your mom's bed. That's pretty scary. Your mom looks kind of alarmed about that, right? Do you know what the most dangerous insect is? One of the most dangerous living animals? Yeah, do you know, Dioma? The mosquito, right. That's right. Now, see, at my house, I don't usually kill bugs. People who know my house know I'm a little bit strange. I have kind of a catch and release practice as much as possible. I'll capture the bugs and then try to release them outside. But yesterday, as I was changing my youngest son, who's about 5 months old, I was changing his diaper, and I noticed he had a mosquito bite on his foot. Yeah, and that made me, a little bit mad. And so later that night, when I was putting him to bed, the lights were off, it was dark, I just set him down in his bed. It was bzzz. You know what I did? I turned on the light, and you know what I thought? I thought, I'm supposed to be a good Buddhist. I'm supposed to be kind and gentle, right? But then I realized, maybe I'm not as kind and gentle as I thought, right? Because when it comes to my family, I want to protect them. When I heard that mosquito, I got mad. Smashed it, right? And I said, Namo Amida Butsu, Namo Amida Butsu, Namo Amida Butsu, right? And this reminded me of one of my favorite kind of heroes of Buddhism is a Buddhist teacher whose name is Saichi. Has anybody heard of Saichi? Saichi was a very, very wise and humble Buddhist teacher. His job was he made geta. Do you know what geta are? Geta are those wooden shoes, wooden clogs that people traditionally would wear in Japan. So Saichi was a geta maker. And he was much revered and respected throughout his community for being a person with deep, deep faith in the Buddha, being very kind, and people thought that Saichi was like a living Buddha. And they said, we'd like to paint a portrait of him so that we can remember him for you know, our next generation is going to have a beautiful portrait of him. So they got the best artist in the village to come and to paint a portrait of Saichi. And Saichi sat very patiently as this artist painted a picture of him. Have you ever had like a school photo or something like that? You have to sit very patiently. Well, when someone draws your picture, you really have to sit patiently. And Saichi sat patiently with a very peaceful look on his face. Very peaceful. And then after the artist was done, he's a very, very skilled artist, and he showed him the picture, and he said, Saichi-san, what do you think of this picture? Is this okay with you? He says, yeah, I mean, it kind of looks like me, but you forgot something really important. He says, really? Really? Yeah, he says, I don't see my horns on there. Right? Saichi said, if you're going to paint a picture of me, you have to paint me with little demon horns. Right? Because although Saichi, from the outside, everyone saw him as being very peaceful and very kind, Saichi knew that in his own heart, sometimes he could be like a demon. Saichi wrote lots and lots of poems. He was famous for writing poems. He would write poems in his notebooks and on his draft paper for making his geta patterns. He wrote lots of poems, and his poems were collected. And they're beautiful poems because they're poems about Saichi's everyday life and how he appreciated the teachings of the Buddha in his day-to-day living. And among those poems is one that I personally consider to be one of the most romantic love poems ever written. It is a poem about his wife. And I'm going to share it with you now. I'll read it in English translation, then I'll read the Japanese original. This is just such a beautiful, beautiful poem. As I gaze at my wife's sleeping face, she looks just like a demon from hell. There are two demons in our house, one male demon and one female demon. Shameful, shameful, shameful. Namu Amida Butsu, Namu Amida Butsu, Namu Amida Butsu, Namu Amida Butsu. Uchi no kaka no nega o mireba, jigoku no oni ni sono mama. Uchi no ie ni wa oni ga nihiki oru. Otoko onni ni onna onni. Asamashiya, asamashiya, asamashiya. Namu Amida Butsu, Namu Amida Butsu, Namu Amida Butsu, Namu Amida Butsu. So this is what the Nembutsu teaching is about. It's about seeing ourselves as we truly are, looking into our hearts. That's what's written right here on this plaque up above the Onaijin. Kenshin. Does anyone know what Ken means, that character at the top? Does anyone know that kanji? What's that kanji? Does anyone know? It means miru, to see, right? The bottom one, makoto, right? Truth, to see what is true, to look into our hearts and see how we truly are. And when people like Saichi or Shinran Shonin, the founder of our tradition, looked in their hearts, they saw those demon horns. They saw that sometimes they could be mean, they could be vengeful, they could be foolish and greedy. But they don't just conclude with this message of guilt. Buddhism isn't a religion that's all about guilt. It's not about feeling bad about ourselves. It's about seeing ourselves as we truly are and then hearing the teachings of the Buddha that show us the true way to live, that show us the better way to live. And so Saichi, he says, asamashiya, he says, shameful. But he also says, Namu Amida Butsu. And which one does he say more? He says shameful twice. He says Namu Amida Butsu four times. Right? So that in his notebooks, he would write this, asamashiya. He would write shameful, 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 filling up two whole pages. And then he would fill up five pages with Namu Amida Butsu, Namu Amida Butsu. The stronger feeling in his heart was the feeling of gratitude for the Buddha. So in these words, Ondok-san, we say Amida Buddha's, the benevolence of Amida Buddha's great compassion. Right? Saichi felt that. He felt so close to the Buddha that when he wrote poems about the Buddha, he used the Japanese word anata to refer to the Buddha. Anata means you, right? But it's a very kind of intimate way of referring to someone. It's not something you use to someone who's way above you. It's something that you use to your friends and family members. So Saichi felt that kind of closeness with the Buddha. I want to share another poem of Saichi's with you. He says, when he writes, talking about the Buddha, says, when my heart turns to you, I think, oh, how shameful, how shameful. When your heart turns to me, I think, thank you, thank you. Namu Amida Butsu, Namu Amida Butsu. Washi no kokoro ga anata ni mukeba, yare asamashi ya asamashi ya. Anata no kokoro ga watashi ni mukeba, yare arigata ya arigata ya. Namu Amida Butsu, Namu Amida Butsu. So Saichi recognizes when he turns his heart to the Buddha, he sees himself, but he knows that in that moment of Namu Amida Butsu, the Buddha also turns his heart to us and shows us the way to live. And so he feels that deep gratitude. Thank you, he says. So we can feel this gratitude to the Buddha, but we also, Shinran also feels this gratitude to other people. He says, Shishu Chishiki, the masters and the true teachers. These can be the teachers that we have hanging on the scrolls up here, Shinran, Prince Shotoku, Denyo Shonin, the seven masters. They can also be the people in our daily lives. They can be our Dharma school teachers, they can be our parents, they can be our friends. These people can also show us who we truly are, and they can help us to see a better way of living. When I was growing up in Minnesota, one of the things that I hated to do was gardening. I hated to help out in the garden. But on Saturdays and Sundays, my mom would often say, okay, I need you to help out in the gardening. Anybody have to do things like this on the weekend? Right? What do you like to do on the weekends? What's your favorite thing to do? How about you, Cameron? You like to read books, play video games? What about other things? Yoma, how about you? What do you like?
Play.
You like to play, right? I used to like to play too, but sometimes I had to haul brush in my backyard. Sometimes I had to run the lawnmower, or I had to rake up leaves, and these were things I did not think were fun. And I would complain, are we done yet? When is this going to be over? Yeah, Shoma. Oh, Grandma will be very happy if you work in the yard. That's right. So all these different things, I would complain and complain. Now, my grandfather, he lived 4 hours away, and he would almost never come to visit. We would always go visit him. And my mom would say, why don't you come up and visit us? Why don't you come and stay with us? The county fair is coming up. We can go to the county fair. We could, you know, go to a lake. We could have a nice picnic. It could be a little vacation. My grandpa would always say, no thanks. He would come up with some reason why he couldn't come. But then one day, my mom called up my grandfather and just mentioned him to him in kind of an offhand, casual way. Oh yeah, this Saturday, we're just going to be very busy. We're going to be cutting down branches from the trees in our backyard. We're going to be very busy doing yard work, and it's going to require some heavy lifting. I'm not sure what we're going to do, but we'll figure it out. You know what happened? That Friday night, who should appear at our house but my grandpa, who'd driven from 5 hours away to come. And he stayed at our house. First thing he did was woke up Saturday morning, 7 o'clock, he was out in the backyard with his chainsaw and his work gloves, and he was cutting branches, trimming trees. He worked all day. He and my grandma helped out all weekend. They only took a break on Sunday morning to go to church. Otherwise, they worked the whole weekend, and Sunday night, after we were done with all the work, they had dinner, and before it was dark, my grandpa was back in the car on the way home because he needed to get back to the farm. He'd been retired from farming for probably 10 years at this point, but he just never felt comfortable being away from his farm for more than maybe a day or two, right? And so as they drove off, I was thinking about how different I am from my grandfather at that time. For me, all I would think about is, I want to play, I want to do my own thing. This is such a pain. But my grandfather, he drove all that way just to help. And then when we were done, he just went back home, right? That was his way of living. He wasn't a person who would talk a lot. He was a quiet man. He was a little bit strict, but he was loving, and he showed his love in these ways. And this is a way of a true teacher, a teacher of this this same attitude of being free from selfish thinking. That's what we strive for this whole year, learning in Dharma school. Every time we come here, every time we hear these words, Namo Amida Butsu, we look into ourselves and we see our true heart. And we have true teachers, teachers like the Buddha, teachers like our family, teachers like our Dharma school teachers, who help us to see our true hearts, but also show us that it's possible for us to live a different way. They show us a better way. And so we feel deep gratitude. And that's what Shinran Shoni expresses in the Ondoksan, and that's what we express in these words, Namo Amida Butsu, gratitude that goes beyond our usual way of thinking, our normal words. So as we conclude our Dharma school year, I'd like to return once again to these words that we reflect upon and we sing so often in our services, the Ondoku-san. Please join me in Gassho. Such is the benevolence of Amida's great compassion that we must strive to return it, even to the breaking of our bodies. Such is the benevolence of the masters and true teachers that we must endeavor to repay it, even to our bones becoming dust. Nyōrai daihi no ondoku wa miyoko ni shitemo hōzu beshi. Shishū chishiki no ondoku mo hone o kudakitemo shasu beshi to. Namo Amida Butsu. 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 Namo Amida Butsu.